Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 10, Lord Krishna's departure for Dwarka. And today's text is number 3. Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachitoktam Pravritta Vijnana Vidhuta Vibramaha Shashasa Gam Indra Ivajitashayaha Parijupantam Anujanavartitah Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachitoktam Pravritta Vijnana Vidhuta Vibramaha Shashasa Gamindra Ivajitashaya Paridyupantam Anujana Partitaha Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachitoktam Pravritta Vijnana Vidhuta Vibramaha Shashasa Gamindra Vivajitashaya Parijupantam Anujana Vartitaha Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachitoktam Pravritta Vijnana Vidhuta Vibramaha Shashasa Gamindra Vajitashaya Parijupantam Anujana Vartitaha. Please chant. Atachitokta Pravritta Vijnana Viruta Vibramaha Shashasa Gamindra Vajitashaya Parijupanta Manujana Vartita. Vaishnavis. So, synonyms, Nishamya. After listening, Bhishma Uktam, what was spoken by Bhishma Deva. Atha, as also, Achyuta Uktam, what was spoken by the infallible Lord Krishna. Pravritta, being engaged in. Vijnana, perfect knowledge. Vidhuta, completely washed. Vibramaha, all misgivings. Shasarsa, ruled over. Gam, the earth. Indra, the king of the heavenly planet. Iva, like. Ajita Ashayaha, protected by the invincible Lord. Paridhi Upantam, including the seas. Anuja, the younger brothers. Anuvartitaha, being followed by them. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Maharaj Yudhishthira, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Deva and Lord Sri Krishna, the infallible, engaged himself in matters of perfect knowledge because all his misgivings were eradicated. Thus he ruled over the earth and seas and was followed by his younger brothers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It's a bit lengthy, but let's try to follow. The modern English law of primogeniture, or the law of inheritance by the firstborn, was also prevalent in those days when Maharaj Yudhishthira ruled the earth and seas. In those days, the king of Hastinapur, now part of New Delhi, was the emperor of the world, including the seas, up to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Maharaj Yudhishthira's younger brothers were acting as his ministers and commanders of state, and there was full cooperation between the perfectly religious brothers of the king. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the ideal king or representative of Lord Sri Krishna to rule over the kingdom of earth and was comparable to King Indra, the representative ruler of the heavenly planets. The demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Vayu are representative kings of different planets of the universe. And similarly, Maharaj Yudhishthira was also one of them, ruling over the kingdom of the earth. Maharaj Yudhishthira was not a typically unenlightened political leader of modern democracy. Maharaj Yudhishthira was instructed by Bhishma Deva and the infallible Lord also, and therefore he had full knowledge of everything in perfection. The modern elected executive head of a state is just like a puppet, because he has no kingly power. Even if he is enlightened, like Maharaj Yudhishthira, he cannot do anything out of his own goodwill due to his constitutional position. Therefore, there are so many states over the earth quarreling because of ideological differences or other selfish motives. But a king, like Maharaj Yudhishthira, has had no ideology of his own. He had but to follow the instructions of the infallible Lord and the Lord's representative and the authorized agent, Bhishma Deva. It is instructed in the Shastras that one should follow the great authority and the infallible Lord without any personal motive and manufactured ideology. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Yudhishthira to rule the whole world, including the seas, because the principles were infallible and universally applicable to everyone. The conception of one world state can only be fulfilled if we can follow the infallible authority. An imperfect human being cannot create an ideology acceptable to everyone. Only the perfect and the infallible can create a program which is applicable at every place and can be followed by all in the world. It is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. If the person is perfect, the government is perfect. If the person is a fool, the government is a fool's paradise. That is the law of nature. There are so many stories of imperfect kings or executive heads. Therefore, the executive head must be a trained person like Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he must have the full autocratic power to rule over the world. The conception of a world state can take shape only under the regime of a perfect king like Maharaj Yudhishthir. The world was happy in those days because there were kings like Maharaj Yudhishthir to rule over the world. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschita Deshnarini Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvinitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityana Nishyadvaita Gadadhara Shvasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I cut the Mangalacharna short because I wanted to save a little time. Devotees always ask me, can you show something from your recent travel? So at the end I'll show a few pictures and a video. So here, the beginning of this particular reign of an ideal king is being described. Maharaj Yudhishthir is described as the king ruling over the entire earth planet. So one may say, wait a minute, isn't Mother Bhumi the representative of this earth? Did he kick her out, usurp her position? No. No. Mother Bhumi stays in the background. As a matter of fact, in the 12th canto, she describes how so many kings have come on my surface and fought and killed each other to rule, but in no time they're all gone. In other words, she's witnessing the entire history of this earth planet. So many kings, even including Yudhishthir, they come, stay for some time, rule, and then they disappear. So he's not usurping Mother Bhumi's position. She's the representative of the earth planet, the demigoddess, you could say, in charge of the earth. And she stays in the background and witnesses everybody's coming and going, including all these leaders. Even pious, righteous leaders like Yudhishthir and Parikshit, they come and go. But Mother Bhumi stays. She's there always. And based on the quality of the citizens, she brings forth or withholds natural resources. She says that. When the citizens are all rascals, evil, sinful, I withhold. Because they have to suffer for their evil activities, their evil deeds. And that includes us. It's not some theoretical construct. I mean, I've quite often recently recited this verse, but it's eye-opening. It's in the 10th canto, towards the end of the 10th. Eka prashuyate janto, eka esha paliyate. Eka unabungte sukritam, eka esha chadushkritam. It says in that verse that every one of us is born alone, dies alone, and alone we have to suffer or enjoy the reactions to our good and evil activities. So everybody's going, is on their own trip, so to speak, as we say in the vernacular. We're each on our own trip. Now, while we're on our own trip, we certainly interact with each other. And that interaction can be pleasant, positive, neutral, or negative. Nasty. Downright. So that's up to us. That's up to us. How we interact with each other, how we interact with Mother Bhumi, this earth planet. That we, by our individual, minute independence, we can create a better future for ourselves and for everyone. Collectively. So that we should do. But for that we need training. So the king is meant to be one of the prime trainers of the living entity on the planet. In the 5th canto, 1st chapter, Rishabhdev, in instructing his 100 sons, points it out. He says that the king, the father, and the guru should instruct the citizens, the offspring, and the disciples. So this is the duty. The king takes part also in instructing, not just extracting taxes. What part of the duty of the king is to instruct the citizens how to achieve the goal of human life. But if the king doesn't know, as Prabhupada says here in his purport, so many rascals in the guise of kings, they don't know themselves. They're on a slippery slope to hell. It's a fool's paradise, as Prabhupada says. If the king is not properly trained, not representative of God, then you're being led by a fool, and the whole thing becomes a fool's paradise. So, we are not meant to exist in a fool's paradise. We are fortunate enough to have come in contact with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is representing God, Krishna, and disseminating perfect knowledge by which everybody can live happily. Prabhupada stated that repeatedly. He said if the modern leaders would simply cooperate with this Hare Krishna movement, this world would become like Vaikuntha. They don't know what is a yoga dharma, and therefore they're not following it. They don't even know what it is. And some of them who've come in contact, they don't care, or they pay lip service, like many of our recent presidents have received Bhagavad Gita. Clinton did, right here in Los Angeles. We were on Harinam one night, and one devotee gave him a Bhagavad Gita. When he approached, the Secret Service was like holding it, but he said, no. And so the devotee came and gave him a Gita, and he took it very nicely, and like that. Did he read it? I don't know. There's no overt evidence in his life that he's practicing Krishna consciousness. Well, so you don't know. You don't know. Just like many, many people on this planet had no idea how deeply involved George Harrison was with the Hare Krishna movement. They may know the song, My Sweet Lord, Hare Krishna, but they had no idea how deeply he was involved. So, quite often great personalities, they don't show externally what's happening internally. So, I don't know, maybe Mr. Clinton, Mr. Obama, and others who have received Bhagavad Gita and have had contact with the Hare Krishna movement, maybe practicing to some extent. But even just accepting, their spiritual life is positively affected. Prabhupada said, even if people just appreciate the Hare Krishna movement, just think these Hare Krishna people are nice. They have a right to do what they're doing. They make positive spiritual advancement just by appreciating. Even if they don't do anything else, they have started. So, therefore, it is incumbent upon us to do our best to interact with the public nicely. Like, I've taken it upon myself to interact with academia. So, next Friday, a week from tomorrow, we have a gig at both of the Palos Verdes high schools. There are two high schools in Palos Verdes. And both teachers, very nice. They already, when they send me emails, they sign it, Hare Krishna. So in this way, we can have a positive effect on the public if we carry ourselves positively and follow Srila Prabhupada positively. And don't denigrate. On the other hand, if we don't do that, unfortunately right now after I got back from my travels, one devotee contacted me that she's not initiated, but she had met an initiated devotee who got involved with her, and now to a very, extent that he shouldn't have, let's put it that way, put it gently. And now that they're living together, he doesn't want to involve with her anymore, so she's completely confused. When I first met this guy, he was like all over me, and now he's ignoring me. What to do? I'm not a pure devotee, like that. So we confuse people. If we don't follow the principles and we interact with the public in a way that, then we confuse people. Rather than leading them towards the goal of life, we confuse them. So we have to be very careful how we interact with the public. But that all comes down to, are we taking advantage of what's being offered by the Krishna consciousness movement? We're being offered a doorway. Doors being opened so we can go back to the spiritual world. Do we get excited by that? Do we really want that? We see, whether you want it or not, you're going to have to leave this body. Sometimes it's happening like, there are two extremes. Either you can leave abruptly, you're cruising along Venice Boulevard, you're listening to your lecture or whatever, you step off the curb without looking and bang, somebody hits you and you die immediately. So that's one extreme. Or the other extreme is like Gunagraha Maharaj or Yamaraj, who just left recently. Yamaraj was diagnosed with cancer 10 years ago. They gave him maybe 1 or 2 years to live. He lasted 10 years. Gunagraha Maharaj, same thing, diagnosed with cancer 6 years before the end came. So that's the other extreme. You know it's coming. You see it coming day by day. Your health goes down, down, down. So you can prepare. So which extreme would you prefer? You step off the curb, you get hit, bang, you're gone. Or do you want to see the slow degeneration of the body and you know the end is coming, you have time to prepare? Which I'm seriously asking. Think about it. Which extreme would you prefer? That's the right answer. Whatever Krishna wants. But do you really mean that? If Krishna were to come today, Mother Karta, come to you and said, Karta, I am so satisfied with you. I'm ready to take you home today. Would you say, yes, my Lord, I'm ready to go? Or would you say, can I have a couple of months just to write my will and take care of this or that? Or I think most of us, if we're honest, we would ask for some more time. Why? Why do we want to stay in this rotten place? Why do we want to stay here and watch our bodies degenerate and watch the wars and the crime and the... Why do we want to stay? So that just shows how reluctant we are to completely surrender to Krishna. This is what's being offered. Krishna's saying, surrender to me. Krishna wants us to succeed in Krishna consciousness. Does anybody have any doubt about that? The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Krishna, wants us to succeed on the path of Bhakti Yoga. The spiritual master, God's representative, wants us to succeed on the path of Bhakti Yoga. Do we want to succeed? Do we want to succeed? That's what's stopping us from success. Our own reluctance, our own, there's an English word, very nice, recalcitrance, which means that your stubborn resistance to succeeding. That's what's holding us back. We don't really want to succeed. And that scenario is evidence, if we're honest. If Krishna came today and knocked on your door, I'm ready. Dwarkadish comes off the altar, comes before you and says, I'm ready to take you back to Dwarka in the spiritual world. You've been living in New Dwarka. Now I want to take you to Dwarka in the spiritual world. What do we say? Yes, my Lord, I'm ready to go. Or, can I have another year or another month? Or this is our foolishness. This is our foolishness. This is our stubborn resistance to success. So, what happens at the time of death? That's between the individual soul and Krishna. We don't really know. Prabhupada made, as was verified in the centennial year, just a little less than 5,000 disciples. Now, many of them have already left. Even many grand disciples have left. How many of them have gone back to Godhead? We can't say. We can't say. We certainly should want everybody to go back to Godhead. We should want to go back to Godhead, and we should be everybody's well-wisher. Please, Krishna, let the soul go back to God. Why would we not want somebody to go back to Godhead? So, we should hope that every one of Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples go back to Godhead. Now, how many have and how many haven't, we don't know. Because that last moment is very personal. Somebody who dies alone, the first scenario, you step off the car, bang, you get hit by a car, you die. Just because devotees weren't there chanting in their ear doesn't mean they didn't go back to Godhead. That last thought that you had, but you may not have a Krishna conscious thought. In 2005 or 2006, I was in Zurich and I gave a class speaking on this point about the last moment. And after class, when Brahmachari, Book Distributor, came to me and said, you know, Prabhu, I had a very bad accident out on Sankirtan. He was on traveling Sankirtan, had a really bad accident in the vehicle, lost consciousness. But just before losing consciousness, he said, oh, not oh my Govinda, OMG, not oh my Krishna, oh something that you can't repeat in class. This is not what we're being prepared for. To say, oh, some bad word at the last moment. We have to take it seriously. We have to take it seriously. So, it's up to us. It's between us and Krishna that last moment. And just the contrary, on the opposite side of the coin, just because somebody's surrounded by devotees chanting in their ear and proper tape is going, doesn't mean at that very last moment they thought of Krishna. It's very individual. As I said, though, we should be everybody's well-wisher. We should want, just like now our Bhakta Chuck, never initiated, but a really nice soul for so many years. He came here and did so much nice service, cooking for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees, making bagels. I'm from New York. I was raised on bagels. So it was very pleasant surprise to find somebody who knew how to make bagels, the New York-style bagels, not just some hodgepodge. To make a good New York-style bagel, you have to be very expert. Bhakta Chuck used to make them all the time. I did, actually. And I made a couple of batches at home. It's not easy. You have to boil them first. You have to make the dough properly, then you have to boil them, and then bake them. It's a very involved process. And you have to get it right, because you can't fool a New Yorker. Once you've tasted New York bagels, you can't be fooled by some facsimile. So, Bhakta Chuck, every day for a long time, used to make bagels, or this wonderful 9-grain bread. I mean, he was just so expert. And to the point where the devotees were begging him, don't make any more bagels, I'm getting fat. So Bhakta Chuck now is in his final days. I was just informed last night that he stopped eating, which means the end is coming close. Do we want Bhakta Chuck to go back to Godhead or not? Haribo! Bhakta Chuck ki jai. We should want the soul to go back to God. And now what actually happens at the last moment is between that soul and Krishna. We can't say. But we should at least be wishing well for everybody. No matter who, not just the big, big gurus. When the big, big gurus leave, we wish every soul that has had anything to do in this Krishna, even those who don't. We want everybody to go back to God. We don't want anybody to stay in this rotten material world if we can help it. So this is the opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Prepare yourself to go back to Godhead and help as many people as possible to go back to Godhead. Very, very definitive, fixed mission. Are we all in? Are we buying into that mission? Haribo. Haribo, yeah. Yeah, we should do that. We should not be distracted by the latest gizmos and gadgets and the latest political happenings. And just fix your consciousness. I want to get out of this place. Go back to Godhead. Don't prematurely promote yourself to the platform of not caring. Oh, Mama Janma need to know. Prabhupada said that's laziness. First of all, you qualify yourself to go back. And then when you're qualified, when you're on the liberated platform, then yes, it doesn't make any difference. For a liberated soul, this world, that world, heaven, hell, it doesn't matter. They're at every moment seeing Krishna. At every moment seeing Krishna. So, or every moment wanting to see Krishna, like the Goswamis. They didn't claim every moment I'm seeing Krishna in Vrinda. Hey, Radha, hey, Brajadeva, hey, Chalalite. Hey, Nandasimha Kutsa. I'm there looking. Where are you, Radha? Where are you, Krishna? So, are we in that mood? If you're in that mood, then it doesn't matter where you are. But we should be honest. If I'm still on the platform of being kicked every day by the threefold miseries, then I should want to get out of here. I don't want to stick around till this body is completely taken away from me and I'm not ready to go. Now prepare yourself while the body's still relatively healthy. Prepare yourself. All you young men, young ladies, take advantage of good health. Otherwise you get to the point like me. Like today after class, I need somebody to pick me up because my hernia is like giving me hell and I'm going to have to go schedule a surgery. I put it off before my last trip because it conflicted the surgery. I had to actually schedule a surgery, but it conflicted with my travel plans and now I'm paying the price. I'm really in pain. So I have to run to the doctor today and reschedule my surgery. So these things happen. What to speak of surgery? One piece at a time. One piece at a time they're taking his body. So, but this is going to happen to all of us. As Prabhupada said in his final moments, don't think this is not going to happen to you. It's going to happen to everybody. And the end is not always advertised like we saw with our Dwarkadish recently. You don't know. You get up that morning, you go to work, you're going home, you leave. It was not a scheduled event. It was not planned. So we have to be ready to go at any moment. Ready to go at any moment. Don't think that you can put it off indefinitely. Like Prabhupada tells a story of this Bengali man that he was getting more and more worried about dying every day. Every day he's hearing, this one's died, that one's died. Obviously my turn is coming, what to do? So being the clever Bengali that he was, he figured nobody likes somebody that smells bad. So he took stool and smeared it all over his body. The Yamadutis will never approach me. That's not going to work. If you want to keep the Yamadutas away, you have to be a devotee. Like in the Ajami Leela, Yamaraj instructed the Yamadutas, don't approach the devotees. Anybody who's chanting God's holy names, don't approach them. They're not in our jurisdiction anymore. So if you don't want to see the Yamadutas, then you have to become a devotee. And not just begin the process, but press on to pure. Because the living entity is by nature pure. We are all by nature pure. But we're, since time immemorial, covered by the modes of material nature. There are two ways to get out of that covering. Sadhana Siddha, by practicing sadhana bhakti perfectly, one is elevated back to the pure platform. Or Kripa Siddha. Maybe not such perfect practice, but by pleasing Krishna in some special way or Krishna's representative, they give you an A. And even though you're maybe should be good at gotten C plus or a B minus, they give you an A. But Prabhupada said, don't bank on that. It's like a person who drops out of high school and thinks one day I'm going to get an honorary PhD. It may happen. It has happened. But it's not the norm. If you want a PhD, you have to put in the hard work. Finish grade school, finish high school, finish college, master's, and then get the PhD. You have to put in the hard work. So, but we are by nature pure. We are by nature pure. So it's not shocking if somebody comes back to the platform of purity. Like some people say that none of Prabhupada's disciples will become pure. Prabhupada made almost... How can you say that? Did you interview everybody? Did you go around and interview all 5,000 disciples to find out whether they're pure or not? And even if you interviewed them, the very next moment they can be pure, because it's such an individual thing. There's nothing preventing us from fully surrendering to Krishna, as I stated earlier, than our own reluctance. The door is open. We can surrender at any moment. So it's not our business to say who's pure or not pure. Our real business is to come back ourselves to the platform of purity. That's the real job. And don't worry. Everybody else, wish them well. Yes. But it's not up to us to examine every body and see, or does this person, because you can't always tell. There's so many stories from the Shastra of somebody who was a pure devotee and not recognized as such. Even our own Srila Prabhupada. Who amongst his God brothers in the Gaudiya Math recognized him as a pure devotee? You see? Very few. Even after he demonstrated his potency by going around the world and delivering so many. And that's not an ordinary thing. Only a pure soul can deliver those who are completely fallen. Shukadeva Goswami, in the next canto coming up, in his prayers in the fourth chapter, Kirata Hunandra Pulinna Pukasha Abhira Shumba Yavana Kasharaya Yene Chapapa Yara Parsha Yashaya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishwanev Namaha. Only those who are themselves completely sheltered by Krishna can deliver all of these fallen, sinful people. So Prabhupada demonstrated that, but still people are thinking, literally, one of his, I don't want to, you know, no controversy, but this person actually said that. That, well, you know, he had experience in business, and because of that he knew how to deal with people. But we are pure since birth, we just worship the, you know. Come on. Come on. Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, true to his humility, he didn't advertise himself as, I'm a pure devotee and you're not. No, he just went out and did the job. Following the instructions of his spiritual master, he delivered the whole world. And he has left the same task for us to carry on, to assist him in delivering the whole world. We don't claim that we can deliver anybody, but if we assist Srila Prabhupada, then we get some credit. We get some credit. So, I could go on. There's so much in this verse that we could discuss, but I'm going to stop here. If there's maybe a question or two, and then I will show you just a little bit from the trip. Anybody? Yes, Mother Karta.
Well, this is just a side comment. You're just talking about Srila Prabhupada in those terms. Who can doubt? Who can doubt his status? But okay, like this?
Yes.
No doubts about Srila Prabhupada, but there is a difference between Srila Prabhupada and other pure devotees, because not everybody in the Sampradaya that was a pure devotee did what Prabhupada did. Not even Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, they just remained and did their particular part of the mission, which is the main part in one sense, but they didn't distribute it. So Prabhupada was particularly empowered. He was a Shaktiavesha avatar, not only a pure devotee. There's many pure devotees that are not Shaktiavesha avatar. So when we compare Prabhupada with anybody, we have to have the idea, the clear idea that he was on top of his purity, that there's no doubt about his purity. He was empowered with the Shakti of Krishna. And a particular Shakti, it seems to be Nityananda Prabhu's Shakti, because he was distributing to the whole world, to the most fallen people, which is a trait of Lord Nityananda. So he empowered Prabhupada to do all these things. And so he's particularly in a different category, not only pure devotee. He's a Shaktiavesha avatar, like Prithu. Prithu is a Shaktiavesha avatar. And there's other Shaktiavesha avatars. So Prabhupada is beyond the level of just pure devotee. He's even beyond. So we can't compare him to just pure devotee.
Yeah, we're not comparing anything. My point was that even after Prabhupada demonstrated
his
potency, some of them refused to see it. So my point is that just because somebody says such and such a person is not a pure devotee, you don't take it.
That doesn't mean, point was right.
Don't take it, because it's not up to us to decide who's pure or not. It's not that the pure devotee always wears their purity in such a way that it's not that every pure devotee glows when they go through the airport. So even the non-devotees say, oh, that man is glowing.
Absolutely.
It's not like that.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying this more for the benefit of the young devotees, because they're exposed, unfortunately, to so many people who go up and down the street saying things that can confuse them. This is why I'm bringing up this problem.
Absolutely.
I'm not necessarily trying to preach to you. You know everything. But I'm talking about these youngsters that we have in front of us right here. Unfortunately, they're exposed to so much, you know, stuff that they can't read. They don't have any defense for, because they're not experienced enough yet. All right, we'll take one more, and then I'll show the end.
It's a good idea to study the Nectar of Instruction, where it defines the different levels of devotees, Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyara Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And this would be nice for the new devotees, so they can understand how to distinguish. So
yes, that's a very good point. But sometimes the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the Madhyam platform for preaching, and therefore he's mistaken as a Madhyam Adhikari and not as a Uttama Adhikari. Yeah. So it's a very deep science. We can certainly get into it, and we're meant to get into it. We're meant to understand these things clearly. Rupa Goswami did not sit under a different tree every night writing these books for nothing. He wanted us to understand, and Srila Prabhupada has given us that essence of all of that, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So we're meant to understand all of these things. All right. I'm going to take just a few minutes to show a couple of pictures and one video from the trip. Hare Krishna. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. As I said, I need a hand. Somebody please pick me up. Hare Krishna. Thank you. And can you get me the wireless mic? I'm going to need it over here. Sorry. I need this. How are you, Mama Tizzy? How are you? Okay. Okay.